We are in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and Jesus is about to go across the Sea of Galilee with the disciples. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you so little faith still?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we're looking at peace, be still. Jesus calms the storm. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm. I and my daughter, we were up in Michigan City, and we enjoyed many times, particularly in the past, to go up there and just to enjoy time out there. And it was a day that was after a storm. So the sky was sunny, but the wind was still strong, and the waves were huge. In fact, when you looked out, if you've been up there, there's a side with the breakers, and there's a breaker that goes out with the lighthouse, and there's that gap in between that the boats usually go through. Sometimes they go through the side. And the waves were actually coming over the one breaker wall and pretty close up on the lighthouse. And we just looked out there, and it was just awe-inspiring in a way and frightening in another way to look at those waves churning up. And as I was standing on the one side, I looked, and this guy with a 38-foot Beneteau, which is a huge sailboat. I love to just say that, Beneteau. I can't afford to walk in that showroom. But anyway, he goes sailing by the canal there with his girlfriend. I'm thinking to myself, what is that guy doing? Is he going to go get a closer look at the breakers? But sure enough, he goes through the gap. And that 38-foot sailboat I could see in the distance was being tossed like a cork. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to get driven into the breaker wall or into the lighthouse. And it was popping around. I think I could hear the guy's girlfriend swear at him from a distance of several hundred yards. And he managed to clear far enough, and then he turned the thing around and came back through. And I thought to myself, man, I thought we're going to have to do a rescue operation. And a little while later, I was in a snack shop, and the owner-operator woman, who's such a lovely woman, I was talking to her, and she said, man, I couldn't believe the waves out there. And I said, well, you're not going to believe it. This guy with the 38-foot Beneteau sailed by with his girlfriend. And she said, well, what happened to him? I said, well, you're not going to believe it. He was just tossed all over. I thought he was going to get smashed into the breaker wall, but he made it back. And so just as I'm kind of in the middle of the story, the door opens, and there's that guy and his girlfriend. So I stopped talking, right? And she, not knowing what was going on, said, so who was the idiot that took the 38-foot Beneteau out? And a guy's girlfriend said, he's the idiot. And the woman who was operating the shop said, what were you thinking? He said, I wasn't thinking. So, and it just reminds me that the storms of life are real on the water and in our lives as well. And sometimes we sort of sail into them unknown, and sometimes life itself catches us in a storm. And I don't know if you've been in storms of, you know, whether it's a tornado coming towards us or here in this area, or maybe a storm we've been on a boat or what have you. But there's also the storms, I think, of life, too, that we think about. The pandemic has been a long storm, if we're really honest with ourselves. It just seems to go on and on. And it's not just that, too. Many of us have known those who've been ill severely with this. Some folks have even passed away. Some folks, too, have gone through financial and relationship storms as well. So I think for all of us, at some point or another, we can relate to what the disciples were going through in some sense, figuratively, if not literally. And so I invite you back into the story. The disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus, this is near evening, just getting to evening time, and Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And it's like Jesus knew what was going on, right? Night and the other side. And it reminds me, too, that sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because God does pull us into a different area, into change or some new chapter or phase in life. And sometimes it doesn't happen in the daytime. It happens at night, right? And so they find themselves out in a 30-foot boat, okay, which, you know, around here may seem like a big boat if you're used to bass fishing or something, but on the Sea of Galilee, 30-foot is what the fishermen used, and I remind you, they had no motors, which makes it a lot easier. Even a sailboat today has a motor, and so if you get in the waves, you can sort of drive it so that the bow is going into the waves, which is where you want. They just had a sail and a rudder could sometimes break, and so these disciples were fishermen, a number of them, and they were seasoned sailors, but they find themselves at night in a storm in the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee can get up to 20-foot waves. In fact, to this day, if you visit the Holy Land and you try to park along the Sea of Galilee in many of the places, it will say, be careful parking because of storms. And the reason for that is even on clear skies, it can generate 20-foot waves, and the waves can come into the parking lot and flood your car. So you got to watch where you park over there. But these guys were in the middle of the lake. They were at night. And Rembrandt captures that moment right here in this famous painting, in case you forgot what that looked like, which is the disciples are sort of clinging to this 30-foot boat, about 8 to 10 feet wide, and they're caught in the teeth of the storm. And Jesus is in the stern of the boat, the back of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping. What a picture in this moment. And so I think the first thing to think about when we're in storms of life, literally or figuratively, because sometimes the figurative ones are just as powerful as the literal ones, is to choose faith over fear. We all have that choice, don't we? The natural thing is to be afraid. I've been in a few storms in my life where the waves were coming over the bow of the boat, and I was afraid. All of a sudden, you know, you were brave, you were a great sailor, and then you find yourself that the storm is bigger than what you thought. And it's easy to look at the storm and to be afraid, right? That's human nature, and the waves are buffeting these guys, and I tell you, at night's so much worse. And they are wondering what's going on, and they look at Jesus. Now, here's what I think about that. All right, we'll get to Jesus asleep in a second, but they at least had the sense to look in the right way. And for us, I think the first choice is, do we look at the storm or do we look at Jesus? I mean, all of us want, you know, we measure up the storm, but then do you sort of stare and focus at the storm or do you focus on Jesus? And I think that's just a life transformation moment to look at Jesus rather than the storm. You know the storm is there, but look at Jesus. Jesus is the one who created all that there is. And Jesus is the one who can see us through the storm. And I think that's the essence of faith. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't need to get the storm. Even if you're afraid, it's okay to be afraid because you're feeling how you're feeling, right? So look to Jesus in the storm. And I think the second thing is to trust Jesus, right? Now, the disciples did look to Jesus, but in terms of trust, not so much, right? Not at first, at least, right? And so they look at Jesus, and Jesus is in the back of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping. Have you ever prayed to God and felt like God was asleep, that God couldn't hear you? Am I alone in that matter? And sometimes it's because God isn't answering things the way we want. Are you with me? We tend to be really specific to God rather than, hey, we're here. God knows we're there, but be with me and guide me. You've got a plan. But in that moment, they just felt like, well, Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is asleep. And I think sometimes we really feel that way. Jesus is asleep. Jesus doesn't care. But that's not true. Here's what I think as I was reflecting on that again this week in this story. And I was thinking, you know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is modeling what trust looks like, right? Jesus was asleep in the storm. Why was Jesus asleep? Jesus trusted the Father, just like you and I should. Jesus was able to sleep in the storm. That was a big storm, okay? So Jesus is modeling to the disciples what trust looks like, to be able to sleep in the storm. It wasn't that Jesus didn't care. Jesus was sort of showing them all the way in the night to sleep in the storm. And I think that's just a beautiful picture of life. And then the disciples wake him up and say, Jesus, we're drowning. The boat's being swamped. The swamp, of course, is what sailors say. The waves are actually breaking over the top of the boat, the bow of the boat. And Jesus looks at them in that moment, and Jesus speaks the words, peace be still, and the storm calms, right? And I think that's the last thing there is to hear the words of Jesus, peace be still. And when Jesus spoke, I think Jesus first spoke to the storm. It says Jesus stilled the wind and the waves. All of it quieted down. And then maybe you had this beautiful night moment where the moon and stars are shining and it can be beautiful in the water at night when it's not a storm, right? And the disciples were told, just marveled in that moment and said, who is this that the wind and waves obeyed? So Jesus speaks a stillness into the storm. And then I think also Jesus spoke, peace be still, to the disciples, right? Because they were not just upset at the storm, I think their whole life was being tossed about in that moment. And I think it's words that will echo into the future in their lives because there's more storms to come in their lives. Well, Jesus was with them when Jesus was away. And so Jesus speaks to disciples and says, peace be still. And I think they felt that. And in that awe of the moment, they said, who is this that wind and waves obey? And they knew the answer to it. This is the Son of God. This is the Creator. This is the one that God has sent us to calm the storms of life. And they learned a valuable, valuable lesson. And I want to just challenge all of us to hear those words in life when we're in a storm. Peace be still. There's a lot of mantras out there about mindfulness and what we do to enjoy the day or what we do when we're faced with challenge and adversity. And one thing I would say is just to look to Jesus, to trust Jesus, and to whisper the words, peace be still, as if it's Jesus himself saying them, because Jesus himself is saying them. And if we repeat those and we hear Jesus saying that and think of this moment, I think our hearts and lives will calm down. Now, it doesn't tell us what's on the other side of the sea. And it doesn't tell us necessarily that we're not at night, because sometimes we're at night, we can't see the way as well as we could. But it does let us know that God is in control. And Jesus is the Lord over the wind and waves and storms of life. And God will see us through. I think the plan and purpose of God, one of the features was that God wanted to teach the disciples this moment in faith so that when they face the storms of life, they'd know that Jesus is the Lord over all of life. President Truman came into the White House in a very inauspicious time, which was that President Roosevelt had passed away, and the negotiations for World War II were going on, and he knew all that that meant to the landscape, the political landscape of the world into the future, and so he couldn't sleep at night. And he was so weighed down in that moment, and then he heard that psalm, and someone spoke to him, the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he began to read that before he went to bed every night. And that gave him the calm and peace that he could sleep. And I think the faith that God would see him through, that it didn't depend on him, but God had a way of calming the storm, the winds and waves of life. Today, whatever storm that you're facing, be it an illness or be it a financial challenge or relationship challenge, or you just don't know the way through the night and what lays on the other side of your life in this night, know that Jesus does. And Jesus is there with us in the boat. And sometimes it feels like Jesus doesn't hear us. Jesus doesn't know what's going on. But Jesus is modeling trust. And Jesus does hear us. He still can speak the words, peace, be still. What voice are you listening to today? I'll close with a couple thoughts. And the first is this. There's a movie that I love called A Beautiful Mind. You may have seen it. It's about John Nash, who was this famous mathematician at MIT, could do incredible things, groundbreaking math, but he suffered from schizophrenia. He heard a lot of voices, and sometimes he didn't know what to trust, and it was a very chaotic period in his life. And then as time went on, he had friends who would steer him through these moments in life when he heard all these different voices. And later in life, he was being interviewed because he was a very famous mathematician. And someone asked him about that and said, you know, you've wrestled with schizophrenia, manic depression, and these sort of storms. And how do you get through that? How do you navigate that? He said, I've learned over my life that everyone hears voices in their life. And the questions are, who can you trust? And who can you trust to point you to the right voice? I think all of us sometimes are in a storm, we hear different voices, and Jesus would whisper, peace be still in life. What voice are you listening to? I read this week that Cam Johnson, who's one of the really young phenom stars in the NBA, starting up a new season shortly, who plays with the Phoenix Suns. And he was playing with Pittsburgh. He played in high school, and he chose his number, and the number was 23. And he played for Pittsburgh, his number was 23, and people asked him, hey, you know, why number 23? And he said, well, he said, first of all, Michael Jordan's my hero. My middle name's Jordan, so Michael Jordan was number 23. He said, but the other reason is my grandmother is a real prayer warrior. She prays old-fashioned way, and she prays about everything, and she instilled that in me. And so I learned to pray Psalm 23, and I pray Psalm 23 before every game. I know it by heart. And when he was transferred to North Carolina, home of Michael Jordan, in college, they told him he couldn't have number 23. They said it was already taken. He'd been retired. I said, oh, really? And so he had to pick another number. And then when he got drafted into the NBA, very high, I think it was 19th overall, he had a chance to choose his number again. And he thought about it, and he said, it's got to be 23. Got to be 23. I'm still, you know, Michael Jordan's still my number one. And but he said, Psalm 23 is what guides my life. And today, you can see him on TV, you see him saying Psalm 23 every game before he goes out to play. And I think that is the thing he says that guides him through the pressures of life, the difficulties. And what a great faith by a young man who has seen the storms of life, knows the pressures of life, and knows that's the voice of the Lord that can see you through the storms of life. Today, I wish you could say we'd never go through a storm. But the truth is, God sometimes calls us to the other side into new areas, new opportunities, new challenges. And even at the night, the hardest time when we can't see the least, and sometimes we do experience storms. But know this, just like the disciples, Jesus is there. And when Jesus isn't answering things just the way that you want, then look at Jesus and realize that you can sleep at night just like Jesus did, because the Father who created everything is has a plan and purpose for your life. And God will see us to the other side. God will see us through the storms. And then I invite you to listen to the still small voice of Jesus saying, peace, be still. And if you're having trouble at night, I just challenge you even to open your Bible to this verse. Put your hand on it and hear God say to you, peace, be still. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this moment when the disciples were in the teeth of a very, very real storm, all seemed to be lost, and yet you were there in quiet showing us how to face the storms, and then you listened to the plea of the disciples because you still hear our prayer, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And in that moment, you looked at the wind and waves and said, peace be still. You looked into the hearts and minds of the disciples and said, peace be still, and the wind and the waves stilled. Lord, help us to find that calm in the storm. When even the storm rages on, that you hold us like your children, as we truly are, and you calm our hearts and you calm the seas. So today, whatever storm we're in, let us know that you're there with us, and you speak the words, peace be still. And all God's people said,